it's good with young people serving and stuff like that. One young lady was here just after 9, helped put all the chairs out. And then that same young lady, one of the young fellas, did the litter pick outside. How great is that? Wonderful, yeah. Let's pray that we grow a church of good and faithful servants. Good to see you this morning. Yeah. It's still good to see you this morning. A good number of other folks are away at the moment, including my wife. But I'm all right. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 1. And it's the time when Jesus called his disciples, his first disciples. And just the main bit I'm going to read to you is from verse 43. But back in verse 35, it says that John, that's John the Baptist, was with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Isn't it great that John the Baptist was not precious about his disciples, but wanted them to follow Jesus, not him? And I just wanted to point that out. We don't own people. Jesus is the one that we serve, and he's the one that we point people to. Now, verse 43, it's going on from that. It says, "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' 'Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?' Nathanael asked. 'Come and see,' said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, 'Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.' 'How do you know me?' Nathanael asked Jesus. Jesus answered, 'I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you.' Then Nathanael declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus said, 'You believe because I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that.' He then added, 'Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.'" Last time I spoke, about 2-3 weeks ago, I spoke about Jesus turning water into wine. And I always get people with this one because they were astonished that Jesus had made the wine. And when they tasted the wine, they said, most people bring the best wine out at the beginning of the feast or the wedding, but you've saved the best until now. You've been taught well. Not last. You've saved best until now. And what I spoke about last time was the power of the now. The power of the now. Jesus transformed a situation by being there and being present, and changing that water into wine. He did it then. He did it, which was then, but now. And the now, what we've got now, is all we have. It's a result of our past. You know, let me remind you what I said, that what we are and who we are and how we behave and what our outlook on life is a result of our upbringing, is a result of our history, is a result of our friends, our family, our experiences. We are a result of our past. But what we do in the now will determine what our futures are. You see, we mustn't be ruled by the past. We must determine the future by what we do now. We have the chance to make decisions and to take right choices that will set us up for a greater future than we've had in the past. Because we've got the now. We determine our future. And so today, last time I looked at the past and the now. I just want to develop a little bit more about what we can expect in the future. Yeah? The future. In that reading, we read about this gentleman called Nathanael. He was led to Jesus by his friends. And he experienced a now moment when he met Jesus that altered the whole course of his life. There was a fantastic chain of events. If you read that chapter, you'll see that Andrew, who met with Jesus, told Peter. And he brought Peter to Jesus. Then he, Andrew then found Philip. Sorry, Jesus found Philip and said, "Follow me." And then they went to Nathanael and said, "We found the one who is the King of Israel." Now, the truth is this, that we don't really find Jesus. Jesus finds us. He knows all about us. And when Nathanael went to him, Jesus saw him and said, "I know who you are. I know where you've been." And the great thing is this, whoever you are, folks, whoever you are, it's the same today. God saw you before you knew about him. He knows you. He knows all about you. Don't think that you did God a favour by coming into that place where you asked him into your life. He's delighted that you did, but he found you. He knew about you before you knew him. He called you before you heard him. You have a purpose. You are not a mistake. You are not an afterthought. You are not an accident. You are not an also-ran. You're not some appendage at the end of things. You're not some afterthought. God has called you and has a purpose for you, even if you don't know it yet. He saw Nathanael and he knew him. And he called him. And he called him and he knew him under that tree before even he knew about it himself. And also, God has prepared a destiny for each one of us that we're unaware of. We were unaware of, and maybe still are. And it all started with Nathanael when he met Jesus, and it gave a whole new perspective on his life. You know, coming to Jesus is not about trying to be good enough. It's not about being religious. It's not about being weird. But coming to know Jesus is about knowing him in a personal and a powerful way. And you know, as we stretch out in faith and dare to believe that he loves us and that he died to save us, something happens, something changes, something different happens, and you see things that you didn't see before. You experience things and know stuff that you didn't know before. Not because you're cleverer, but because it's a revelation of the Holy Spirit that comes when we have faith. It works! And you know, you talk about this stuff to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, it's no fault of their own necessarily that they don't know Jesus, they just don't know. And it's rubbish. You go home to somebody, or go to work with somebody and tell them some of the stuff that we do here, and when it's all out of context, they think you're mad. But we know what we're doing and why we're doing it, and we know that Jesus is real and that he has his hand upon our lives. You know, the things that we do in our church, right? We had the police here this morning. Yeah, we did. Not just you. Your lot, mate. You saw them in the van. Did you kind of give them a knowing look and a flash your warrant card out? And evening all. What do you say in the morning?
Hello.
We had a police officer and a community support officer. I told them Wes wasn't coming this morning, but because he's away now. They came because they want to engage with us as people in the community. Isn't that good? That's really good. We weren't sure what time to come. We didn't want to disturb you. I said, "You'd never disturb us. You're welcome." We're known, by the grace of God, for the stuff we do. Because we do stuff. Have you noticed that? We do all sorts of groups and outreaches and things. And it's, you know, I want it to be that people will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. That's the way it works. So we do stuff, and it's nice to know that we are valued for what we do. But the very basis of everything we do is that we want to be like those guys and lead people to find Jesus. You can argue with people, you can have different opinions with people, And the way we do it is we don't preach at them, but we love, respect, and we serve them. And you know, isn't it wonderful that we have some people from the groups that we have, outreaches and things that we do, come and be part of the family here. And this is the basis, this is the motivation, our love and our relationship with Jesus for all the things that we do. It's the greatest reason for our lives, in a sense, to worship God and to reach people and to lead them to Jesus. You see, we're all called on a journey which continues because the God we serve, and this is what I really want to talk about this morning, He's a God of greater things. Whatever you've experienced, wherever you've come, I believe that a now moment can touch our lives that can lead us not just to good things, but to greater things. You see, when Nathanael responded to Jesus, Jesus said to him, "You will see greater things than that." Do you know, if I didn't believe that God wants to do greater things, I might as well just go home, because He's done it all. We've reached the ceiling, that's it. We've got a nice building, we've got a nice little meeting, we've got this sort of stuff, we have lovely groups. Do you know, I am totally dissatisfied with what we do. That's no reflection on what we do, because what we do is wonderful. But I believe God's got greater things for you, for me, for us, for this area. Am I right, or am I the only person that's thinking these things? It's the truth. There is a great potential in God for what He wants to do. He wants to do greater things. He wants to do greater things in your life and through our church. You know, He wants us to see greater things. I was thrilled when Emily highlighted that verse in that song that I took a picture of on my phone, and I was over there. What else can I go? Why don't I just give you a phone and look at the picture? It was talking about vision, yeah? Here we are. God, I look into you. I want to be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. You know, God is the God of greater things. And the first thing we need to do is we need to see greater things. We need to see things from His perspective. Our revelation of God is gained by faith. The Bible says that faith is the evidence of things that we hope for and the assurance of things that we don't see. Now, people are only satisfied in the evidence when it's there and are only assured when they can see it. But you know, faith is not like that, because it's faith not just in, you know, luck or hope. It's faith in God. And when you've got a faith in God about His promises and what He wants to do in our lives, it gives you an assurance and a strength that isn't about you, it's about Him giving it to you. We see what we've got right now. But how does God see things? How does God see people? You see, this was the start for Nathanael, as with every individual. You know, we serve a supernatural God. And we must never become embedded in normality and limited expectations. What we do, how we live, right. Oh, do you know what? God sees something different. God sees something more. He sees a potential in you and in me and in us. He sees things the way He sees them that we don't, because He knows the end from the beginning. And what we, all we need to do is walk with Him, ask Him, obey what He says. And bit by bit, God will, because He wants to, reveal things about you, about what we should do, about how we should live. You'll see things in a different way. How many of you, having come to Jesus, suddenly see things differently? Yeah? It's true, isn't it? I mean, every hand in the sense can go up, of course. We don't see things like we used to. Our priorities change. How do you see your family? Do you know, I believe God's got greater things for every family here. For every marriage, God has got greater things. He sees a potential in your home. What about your workplace? What about your names? What about your walk with God? Do you know, God has got greater, for he is the God of greater things. And the church and our ministry, yeah. Its impact on our community, our growth. You know, I'm not one of these people that wants to grow a big church so I can boast about it. Well, for a start, I don't grow churches. Jesus builds them. Right? So my church is his church. When I'm dead and gone, he'll still be building it. Yeah, it's him. It's about him. But, oh, I do want to see people rich for Jesus, don't you? I do want to see people in this community loving and being loved, serving and being served, being rich for God. I do want to see families and lives transformed. And what we've got at the moment is good. But God has got something greater. And I want us to open our eyes and open up our faith and say, Lord, what is it you want me to see? What greater things do you want me to see? I don't know who said this, but it's a good quote. It says, if you don't see what you can't see, you will never see it. I had a puzzled face look at you last night. If you don't see what you can't see, if you can't see it, faith will enable you to see it. I do believe Walt Disney, after he died, they opened up a big Walt Disney thing place. And something I quoted it to you once before, I can't think where it got it from, but it's true. Walt Disney's widow was at this opening of this Walt Disney Center thing, whatever you call Walt Disney thing. Disney World, thank you very much. The word Disney. Disney World. And somebody said to Walt Disney's widow, isn't it a shame that he's not here to see this? And what she said to him, he said, it's fine. He saw this long before it was built. And God looks at you and he sees something in you that you're not aware of yet. He sees something greater and bigger than you. Mandy, this morning, you did something you've never done before. She went back to her seat shaking. I'm tremendously proud of you doing that. Because you stretched it. You went and you did it. Isn't it fantastic? See? You enjoyed every minute of it, didn't you? See how many plates you were so, oh, I can't get enough of this. What else can I do? Can I juggle a few balls and entertain everybody? I don't want to sit down. Not much. She wanted to sit down, but she stretched. You know, God sees a potential in Mandy that she doesn't see in herself. I don't even see what God's got for you, or 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 for me. The thing is this, faith enables you to see what you can't see. But if you can't, if you don't see what you can't see, you'll never see it. Is that making sense now? Yeah, good, that's all right. The puzzled face is smiling at me right now. This was the promise to Nathaniel. You're going to see greater things. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Our faith. Ah, dear. You know, this church has been going for 7 years. And Judith and I, we walked around the park before it started, and we said, if we don't do this, if we don't have a crack at this, we're going to regret this for the rest of our lives. God gave us vision, and he gave us a vision that includes you people and all the others that are here today that we didn't even know. Didn't even know some of you folks. Knew some of you, but didn't know a lot. God wants us to see greater things. He wants us to do greater things as well. You know, Jesus came to this earth and didn't he do great things? Jesus came, he performed miracles, he was the Son of God, the living Word of God. He was God made flesh, he lived a sinless life, he did miracles, he died on the cross and he rose again. But he didn't come to do it all. In John 14, he said to his disciples, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. And they will do, get this, even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Jesus didn't come and do everything. He did a lot. He made it all possible. He did the most important thing. He paid the price for our sin. And then he rose and defeated death. But then he said to you and to me, get on with it. You know, I love the book of Acts. Because it's about Acts. It's not the ideas of the apostles. It's not the hopes of the apostles. It's not the plans of the apostles. It's not the I couldn't care less of the apostles. It's the Acts, what they did of the apostles. And it says there, because I'm going to the Father, you're going to do greater things than this. Do you know, when Jesus went to the Father, he went there to send the promised Holy Spirit upon the church, to anoint you and to anoint me and to enable you and to enable me, not only to see greater things, but to do greater things with a power that's beyond and bigger and greater than we've got. He says, I'm going to go to the Father. When I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit upon the church. Do you know what? Every single one of you is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of you who know Jesus have him living within you. But the other thing he wants you to do is to receive the power of the Holy Spirit upon you so that you can be his witnesses, so that you can move in a miraculous way. When I start talking about moving in a miraculous way, it freaks you out, doesn't it? Miraculous way? Go to the undertakers and raise all the dead. No! Do you know what? God can help you in the smallest little things start to build your faith and enable you to see that the Holy Spirit working through you starts to do stuff that's bigger than you. It's like a chain reaction. It really is. Do you know, when you've been around for a while, things come back to you. We got an email from somebody from years ago. Different name, they got married, didn't know who it was to start with. And yet they said, you know, something happened about a million years ago that happened in your church or whatever it was. I don't know who it was. But that set me up to do da 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 da. You just don't know. And God is at work in us. And he enables us to do greater things. You know, Jesus set it up for us to do. David wanted to build a temple, but God said no. So he prepared for Solomon to do. Elijah had a great ministry. But then when you read in Elisha, whatever it means, he had a double portion of that. And you know what? I love the fact that there's a younger generation in our church. And one day, when Judith and I fall off our respective perches, we've got plenty of life here, don't you worry about that. But we want to leave a church that sees great things, that does great things, and we've never been able to do. We want to set this place up for the God's best in the future. Is that an exciting prospect? And we can do it by what we do now. We can do greater things. It starts now. Believing, praying, and doing, stretching our faith and being willing to fail, being willing to come out the front and do the prayer cards, even though you're scared and you think, if I mess it up, what's going to happen? Well, you didn't mess it up, it was great, and no problem. You stretch us. Why don't we take some chances? Why don't we do some risky stuff sometimes? Hey, really? Because we're in a culture that's safe. Why not ask somebody who's not well, do you know what, would you like me to pray for you? There's this old boy, we'll call him Frank, because that's his name. He's died now, but years ago, I used to know him as I've got another congregation, you know that down here in Bennington Park. I do their funerals, I do all sorts of stuff. Only when they die, but I do stuff. I've even prayed for a dog that got here. But this is Guy Frank, and he was sitting on the bench and he wasn't very well. And I get that thing in me that says, right, I've prayed for him. Do I have to? Yes, you do. No one's forcing me, except the Holy Spirit. Whether or not he gets healed or not is just in a sense irrelevant. But it's you being obedient. And I said, Frank, I said, you know what, you know, this might sound a bit, but would you mind? I'm at the church and we pray for people. Would you mind just praying for you that you get better? And he burst into tears. Oh, that worked well, didn't it? No. He burst into tears. He says, no one has ever offered to do that for me. Ever. Prayed for him, and suddenly there was a connection there. And whatever God did something in his life there because I just sought to be obedient and I did it. I took a risk. What if I prayed for him and he says no? Do you know what? In all the years I've been a Christian, I've only ever had one person refuse me to pray for him. It's Tommy Get Lost. That's not bad though, in about a million years, is it? Hey, what in a million that was? Most people are, yeah, okay, thank you. And do you know what? If you don't step out sometimes, God hasn't got the room to do great things. He always responds to faith. Here's how God has provided for this building. And the reason he's provided is because we're doing it. If we suddenly stopped and said, right, we're comfortable now, none of that would happen. But because, let me tell you, we are going to do greater things. We're going to expand what we do. Why? Because God is a God of creation. And he's never stopped creating. And he's never going to stop creating. And it says in the Bible, create in me a clean heart. And he wants to create new life into people. And he wants us to do greater things for him. So we want to see greater things. We need to do greater things. And finally, we need to become greater people. We need to be better people. Not better than anyone else, but better than we are. Everyone else. We are here. By the grace of God. And the psalmist said, creating me, create, make, form. Creating me a pure heart of God and renew a steadfast spirit. Philippians assures us this, that it's God who works in you to will and to act and to fulfill his will. I was at a leaders' day yesterday, conference day yesterday. And the speaker there reminded us of something, and he said this, that we are our greatest problem. We are. I don't speak is my biggest problem. Did you know that? Yes, you did know that, didn't you? But you are yours as well. You know, there are all sorts of circumstances and things that can happen that can pull us down, but at the end of the day, it's me and God. At the end of the day, I know that I'm a man who still needs the touch of the Saviour on my life, day by day by day. And he wants me to grow in his grace. And he wants me to be worked upon. And whoever you are, let me tell you, God has got, I really do believe this, that God has got your best days to come. If God has got a purpose for you and greater things, why on earth are you wasting oxygen on planet Earth? Why are you here as a servant of the living God? I tell you why you're here. Because your life is packed full of purpose and potential. He's got greater things for you to see, to do, and to be. We can see, do, and be greater because of the power of God invested in his people, the power of the Holy Spirit. He can help us to see visions, to dream dreams, to be witnesses, and to move in the realm of the supernatural. And like, that's not weird. It can be sometimes, but it's not weird. It's acknowledging that there is a spiritual power above and beyond what we see. Which is why you can come into a meeting and nobody knows you, and yet God speaks right into your heart because it's like you're the only person. That's the Holy Spirit. It works. Access to that is by faith. because it's the promise of Jesus. You know, I do believe, as I close, that this is a now moment. A now moment that can define our future. It's a now moment for God to begin greater things in and through us. Do you know, as we stretch ourselves, as we step up in faith, as we seek to do more and be more, it puts a bigger responsibility on us, because God wants to do bigger and greater things. It's a challenge, and he wants to trust us and call us to greater things. It costs more. You know what's going on about money? We're not always going on about money, are we? Just from time to time, we sweat a bit, and it's like, oh. Do you know, the books say we're always skinny. I could never be an accountant, never, because I don't believe those figures. They're just numbers. The books always say we're skinny, but to be honest, I'm glad there are good people that do it, by the way. I'm not sort of. We've got to do things right, don't get me wrong. But you know, God, every time, comes up with it. We get away with it all the time, don't we? It happens, and it's because we trust in him. Now, if you think that we are stretching it a bit with cost now, you see nothing yet. Because if God wants us to do more and stretch ourselves more, it's going to cost us more, and we're going to get more, and we're still going to be skipped because we're going to invest it all. Because God's got greater things for us. And I want to do great. So I want to be great. Finance, commitment, faith. But do you know, when there's a purpose and there's a vision, it's worth investing in, isn't it? The disciples said to Nathanael, come and see. And Nathanael found Jesus for himself. And you know, that little group of individuals, those little ragtag of people, the ones he called became greater than they could have ever dreamed to be. They were the people, the apostles, that did the Acts. It's what Jesus' followers did, and which we carry on today. Do you know, the early church, Peter, John, and all that lot, didn't ever reach the nearest day. Good reason for that is it was never built. But it is now. They never reached the London Borough of Sutton. But for what God has got, let's see greater things. Let's do greater things. Let's be greater people. It says in Romans 12:1, let's offer our bodies as living sacrifices so that he can use us for his purposes. Let's pray for everyone, shall we?